What is being called the Historic Declaration to Divest from Policing was launched on Tuesday, February 16th. This declaration was authored by 13 abolitionists and anti-carceral groups from across Canada. Ottawa's own Criminalization and Punishment Education Project, also known as CPEP, was one of the groups to contribute to the declaration. Here is Suhail Benzliman of CPEP on the launch.
So we launched the website as well as a declaration with the signatories. And basically, the declaration just echoes the years of struggle that people have been going through, resisting police and prison violence, and also like bridging the struggles because, as you know, the declaration touches on housing, on other supports for the community. So like, defund, dismantle, and build. We're not merely just asking for the reallocation of the resources, but we are asking for the complete obliteration of these forms of oppressive systems.
As Benzliman said, the declaration touches on many different issues. The declaration said, "For some time now, Black, Indigenous, racialized, and gender-oppressed people, migrants, those living with mental health issues and disabilities, people who use criminalized drugs, and people without housing have experienced the harms of policing and incarceration instead of support. We recognize the violent infrastructure of prisons and policing also negatively impacts the land, water, air, and other than human beings through environmental degradation, disrupted relations, and capitalist extraction. Our public funding of policing, jails, prisons, and immigration detention vastly exceeds the funds allocated to public housing, income assistance, childcare, and mental health support. We can choose differently." The statement encourages action to follow a three-pronged strategy: defund, dismantle, and build. The authors and signatories of the declaration want to end the investment of public and private money into police programs, get rid of policing and prisons, reallocate funds to build affordable housing for all, and provide access to food and water. They also want funds to go towards nonviolent community-based initiatives and non-coercive mental health care. Benzliman says he hopes that the smaller groups who are pushing for similar goals can use the declaration as a tool to demonstrate how they are not alone in their support of defunding and abolishing police.
And now we have signatories from, organizational signatories from a broad range of sectors and, thousands of people who signed on to it. And the tool, or that the declaration is supposed to be used as a tool to elevate local struggles. So if there are local struggles for defunding the police, maybe they can reference this declaration and the people who signed on to it in order to leverage some pressure in the either decision makers or government officials in their respective localities, but it serves as a tool to kind of alleviate those calls and amplify local struggles, and people or decision makers, they're going to see that this is not merely a few handful of people who are signing on to this, but we have the union sector, union workers who have signed on, et cetera. So it's a tool that people can use in different ways in their own local context.
The declaration received a lot of support. According to an Instagram post by CPEP, 158 organizations have signed, as well as 2,300 individuals. A press conference was held Tuesday morning to announce the launch of the declaration and its website. This conference featured speakers from Unifor Canada, Black Lives Matter Toronto, Free Lands, Free People, Doctors for Defunding Police, British Columbia Civil Liberties Association, and CPEP. Here's an excerpt of Benzliman's statement at the press conference.
I speak to you today as a criminalized and illegalized migrant who is facing deportation back to Morocco. And I want to speak to you today as well and highlight that incarcerated comrades are putting their bodies on the line today through a hunger strike to demand the Maplehurst human cage meets their most basic needs. Why? Why do we have to allow this dehumanization to happen in front of us without collectively doing something meaningful about it? Why do we allow jails, prisons, and other carceral systems to kill our loved ones, to kill community members that if they were outside, like comrades said earlier, would be able to care for them? I want to highlight that jails, prisons, and other carceral systems are not broken. They are designed to control, dispossess, injure, and kill communities and their members based on white supremacist racial lines. And I would like to also urge us, the imprisoned people, that we have to be in solidarity with those behind bar and rise up, because enough is enough. I'm speaking to you as a criminalized and illegalized settler on stolen Algonquin land to bring the point of view of those from our communities who cannot be here because they are forcibly confined, violated, beaten, raped, and killed slowly and quickly in human cages in the name of public safety. Is that really what public safety looks like? I speak to you as an abolitionist comrade who does not believe in human cages and other oppressive systems can be reformed. Rather, they must be abolished. And this line of thinking comes directly from the struggles of Black peoples before me and right now on Turtle Island and beyond, who did not believe that slavery can be reformed, but must be abolished. Abolition for us, it is not only an option, it is a historic obligation. It is about which side of history we want to stand on. The Canadian nation state governments have been engaging for far too long on enforcing colonial and apartheid system that violate our communities and its members and do not meet our needs. The declaration is particularly important to me and my communities and the communities I work in solidarity with, because we bear the brunt of punishment, apartheid, and torture. Because abolition for us is not an option, but it is a necessity to end the suffering we go through. Because the state proves time and time again that they are not invested in promoting life. Rather, they are invested in maintaining a system of racial and economic and other dominations under the disguise of public safety.
Bensleyman says that although he appreciates all the signatures on the declaration, he hopes to see people taking action to uphold the values written into the statement. He said engagement goes beyond signing the declaration.
We are hoping to see that the people that have signed on will uphold those principles that are outlined in the declaration. So, divest, dismantle, and build, right? So if their actions hopefully are going to reflect those broad strokes that were defined in that declaration. So if we have, for example, unions that have signed on, so our hope is that, these folks in the future either organize within themselves or outside of their unions in order to encourage build abolitionist futures, right? So of course the signatories of the declaration are not going to, for example, have partnerships with the cops, I hope not anyway, and are going to continue denouncing this, and that will keep moving the needle closer to abolition. I feel that, that's a major step in order to shift away from policing and prisons. The letter has been signed by thousands of people. There are going to be a lot of op-eds published in different venues across the, Turtle Island, that speak about the historic declaration and why it's important. I feel good.
For CHUO-FM, this is Gabby Kalugai-Kasuga.